Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Okie dokie. I wonder if you have your Bibles with you, please. If you can turn to Matthew chapter 13 and verses 1 to 23. Matthew 13, verse 1 to verse 23. What we're going to look at this morning is the parable of the sower. And within this parable, this story, parable's another word for story. Within this story, Jesus gives us the keys to living a fruitful life, living a productive life in him. So if you want to be successful as a Christian and do some great stuff, here are the keys given by Jesus himself as to how we can do that. It's the parable of the sower. So I'm going to read from verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root and withered away. And some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, saying, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. It is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Amen. Lord, would you please just come and speak to each one of us through your word this morning. Come and open our hearts, Lord. As we choose to open our hearts, Lord, would you come and help us to do that, Lord? Give us that ability just to open our hearts to you, to hear what you're saying this morning, and to live it out, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at each one of these bits of soil, and each one of these parts in the parable, in the story. So I've got some props this morning. As you can see, I've been hard at work in my garden, digging and pulling things up. I'm a hard-working gardener. Not really, I'm not. Sarah's very good in the garden, but I tend to try and avoid it if I can at all costs. Okay, so here we've got the seed that fell on the path or the wayside. I don't know if you can see that, can you guys? If you want to get up and have a look. Here we've got the seed in the shallow soil. It's starting to wither. Here we've got the seed that was choked by the thorns. I've got some thorns from the garden there and some weeds from the garden. And here we've got the fruitful seed, or fruitful soil. And we've got a great abundance of fruit. Well, onions, actually. And an apple. Now, these onions are actually from Carl Pointer's allotment, and he gave them to us. Fantastic, aren't they? They're amazing. And this is from our garden, from our apple tree in our garden. I thought it was cute, so I thought I'd pick it and bring it in. Just try a little bit.
Sour.
Very nice. Okay, so, yum yum. Let's have a look at all these different types of soil and see what Jesus was on about when he was giving this parable. First of all, I want to look at the bit in the middle that we looked at, where the disciples asked Jesus, why on earth do you speak in parables? Why do you speak in stories? And Jesus gave the explanation. And really what I think he meant by the explanation was this. If we're honest, not everyone wants to hear the message of Christ, because they don't want to obey it. Some people do, and they're desperate, they're hungry to know God. And maybe in our own lives we can relate to that. There's been seasons where we haven't wanted anything to do with religion, church, God. You know, we'd go in our own sweet way. And even if someone told us the good news about Jesus, we'd harden our heart to it at that point in our lives. But let's be honest, there's key seasons in our lives where we can open our hearts and when we're ready to receive that good news of Jesus. So really, what Jesus is saying is that the soil is our hearts. It's whether or not we're willing to receive what God wants us to do, and where we're really willing to hear it and to obey it. And Jesus is basically saying the reason why he speaks in stories, in parables, is because there's some people who really don't want to know. They've made up their minds already. Sometimes this can even be religious people. At the time of Jesus, it was the Pharisees particularly. Some of the Pharisees became Christians. You know, they followed Jesus, believed he was the Messiah. But many of them had actually hardened their heart to God. They didn't want to go God's way. Even though they looked religious on the outward, inside, the state of their hearts wasn't right before God. And in a sense, what Jesus is saying is, to those who really want to know more, he'll tell them more. He'll explain more. But to those who really have made up their minds already, they've decided, I don't want to go God's way, he'll give them the basis of the information, but he's not going to go into great depth and detail, because really they've already made their decision not to follow him. So what it's saying is being wise. Jesus was being wise with the truth of what God had given him to share. And for those who are hungry, he'll give more. And that's what he means by, to those who have a little bit, even the little bit they have, they won't keep. And to those who have much, more will be given. He's talking about people's hunger levels. He's talking about people's hearts and whether or not they're keen for God, or whether they've actually made that decision, no, I'm not interested. No matter what you say, it's not going to change my mind. Well, there comes a point where you can be casting your pearls to swine, and you can be explaining this and that and doing a Bible study with people who really don't want to know. They've already made their decision, you know. So Jesus is being wise, and he's spending extra time with his disciples, with the 12 particularly, explaining the parables, because they're the ones that are hungry. He loves all people, and he wants all people to know the truth, but he's wise as to what the state of people's hearts are. And he's also wise with us and the state of our hearts. If we're honest, sometimes we don't actually want to know what God wants to say to us, because we've decided we're going to sin, we're going to go our own sweet way, and we actually don't want to hear the truth at that point in time. And I'm sure we can all relate to that, you know, seasons in our lives. One day we're on fire, we're like, yeah, I'm really going for God. The next day we get tempted and we think, oh, actually, I don't really want to know what the Bible says to me today. I want to blank it out, you know. And what Jesus is saying through this parable is, Look at the state of your heart and keep your heart in this state here, the fruitful state. Because I'm sure each one of these could characterize our lives, each one of these different soils. But God wants this soil to characterize our life. The open heart, the heart that's ready to receive his word, the heart that wants to obey whatever he wants to say to us. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And what that is saying is, it's talking about our attitude. When it's talking about the heart, it's not just talking about the physical pumping thing in our body, pumping blood around our bodies. It's talking about the center of our being, our purpose, our will, our desire. If you have a heart desire to do the will of God, a longing to do God's will, that's what it's talking about. And we need to guard that. We need to guard against our heart becoming hardened by the things we go through in life, and especially becoming hardened towards God. So we're going to look at the different types of hearts, different types of soil. First of all, we've got this soil here, which is the wayside. It's the path. It's really not the soft bit where the seed falls. It's the path. It's too hard to be penetrated. So just imagine a farmer coming, sprinkling his seed all around the place, or Sarah coming into the garden with a seed that I've bought her from Home Bargains. You know, she's there, you know, mixed veg seed or whatever, shaking it and sprinkling it. And some of it falls on the path, and it can't penetrate that path. So here I pulled up a flower. It was just literally on the path. It had a little bit of soil there, but nothing to speak of, and it's just died. It's not thriving. It can't live in that environment. Can this plant live? Give it some water, some light, warmth. But really, the picture Jesus is saying is the seed comes and it's going to bounce on that ground, and it can't get its roots down. The ground's too hard. It's impenetrable. And sometimes when God speaks to us, we can harden our hearts. And God's word, what God is saying to us, that's the seed, it won't penetrate. We won't allow it to penetrate. It'll just bounce off. Let's not find ourselves in this category. You know, if we're honest, we can all be in this category in seasons. But let's try and keep the season, this last one, this last bit of fruitful ground. Let's open our hearts, keep our hearts soft to him. What things can harden our hearts? Well, when we go through a tough time, we've got a choice, haven't we? We can either keep our hearts soft, we can forgive those who've hurt us, we can forgive God when we're going through a trial, thinking, well, God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? Or we can hold on to bitterness. If we hold on to bitterness and judgment, what we're doing in reality is we're hardening our heart. And no matter what God says, like you said before, the reason why he brings parables, it's just going to bounce off. He's not going to be able to bring us into deeper truth, because straight away that truth is being stolen by the evil one. And just as a seed will fall on this hard ground and birds will come down and peck it up, steal it away, Jesus is saying that when people harden their hearts and they're not ready to receive the message, it's just taken away. It won't bear any fruit in people's lives. And there's many people who have heard the good news of Jesus and it has not affected their lives. I'm thinking about one person, a friend of mine, who heard the good news of Jesus, became a Christian, but he only just did it for a couple of days. He didn't really allow the word of God to penetrate his heart. And he said, I haven't changed, you're no different, that's it. And he didn't bother walking with God. That's just the hardening of the heart and not allowing God to work in his life, you know. And it's going to be resentment, it's going to be bitterness, things like that, that are going to cause us to harden our heart. So let's keep a soft heart. The other thing is that can stop God's word penetrating into our hearts is a lack of receptiveness in terms of focus, in terms of desire to hear what God wants to say. You know, when God is speaking, we need to listen, we need to open our ears. Jesus said at the end of many of his parables, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He wants us to hear. He wants us to open our hearts. He wants us to be attentive. And sometimes when the word of God is being preached, you can see the ones that are hungry. They're sucking every bit of juice out. You know, they're there, wanting more of the word of God. They want wanting to know, what does God say? What does God want me to do? They're hungry for truth. And for those of us who have been Christians many years, we can grow used to the truth and, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. And we can harden our hearts just like this hard path. We need to keep our hearts soft. We need to listen to the truth when, no matter who brings the Bible study or the preach, it's the word of God. Let's open our hearts to what God has got to say. Some people will be more skilled in certain areas of God's word than others, but that doesn't matter. What matters really is that we have got soft hearts, and when God speaks to us, we're opening our hearts and wanting to hear what he's got to say. So that is, first of all, the seed that fell by the wayside. Let's not allow Satan to come and take that away from us. Let's allow it to sink deep into our hearts. Second type of soil, or second type of heart, is the soil which is not very deep. And I think it says it's stony as well, isn't it? Yeah, verse 5 of chapter 13. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So here we've got a plant that's, again, not looking very brilliant. It's withered away. It's seen better days. I don't know what the situation with this one is. I just use this one as an illustration, but I think probably, again, water is needed. But it's in a fairly small pot, and you've got to have a look at the roots, really, and probably the roots are filling this pot, and there's no nutrition there.
What's that?
Do you want the garden term?
Yes, please.
It's pot bound.
Yeah, it's pot bound. It's not thriving. It's, you know, limp, I would say. We went camping last week to Tenby, had a great time. But as I was banging in some of the tent pot, the pins, what they're called?
Pegs,
thank you. The pegs in the ground, there were some stones in the ground. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you've been camping, you're banging those tent pegs in, and they go down so easily, and then suddenly they stop, and you start banging, think, come on, this is a bit tougher, and you bang it harder and harder, and what happens? It bends. And all that's happening is the whole thing is just bending. You've got to pull that peg out again and find another bit of ground, then bang it down and try and avoid the earth where there's rocks and stuff, you know. And some earth is just full of stones. There's good places to camp and there's bad places to camp. And the bad places to camp are the places where there's lots of rocks in the soil and you can't get those tent pegs in. In exactly the same way, if you've got a lot of stony ground, there's not the space for the roots to go down deep. So these roots can only go so far. They can't go outside the pot. It's pot bound. Did you come in?
No, hello.
It's pot bound. God doesn't want us to be pot bound. God wants us to be free, and the way we can be free is by allowing our hearts to be soft and allowing God's word to go deeper into our hearts. So what sort of a person does this characterise? I'll tell you, this pot here and this soil characterises a Christian who is very eager at first. Come on in, you're very welcome. Great to see you. Have we got a seat there? Yeah, that's great.
Everybody, this is Joe.
Hi.
Did you say?
This is June.
June. Hi, June. I'm Stuart. Welcome. June, I'm just explaining. We're looking this morning at the story of the parable of the sower. And it's Jesus taught this, and it's talking about our hearts and the state of our hearts before God. We've just looked at the path, where the seed fell on the path, and the seed was pecked up by the birds, and we've said that that really symbolises us when we've hardened our hearts towards God, and we don't want to know what God wants to say, basically. So that's the seed that fell on the path. Now we're going to look at the second category that Jesus spoke of, and it's the seed that fell on the very shallow soil, full of stones. It's not got any earth, so it can't grow, it can't thrive. And really, this symbolises people who hear about God, they hear the message of God, and they're very excited about it. They think, yes, this is just what I've always wanted in life. Yay, I found the truth. They're really excited. They ask Jesus into their life. They get forgiven of their sins. They think, this is amazing. And they're loving the worship. Yeah, hands up. And yeah, fantastic. And they're excited about the church. And they're there at every meeting. And they think, yeah, this is really, really exciting. And then a few weeks later, they're off. They've had enough. And they've gone off. Gone back to their old ways, and you don't see them in church, and that's it. It's a flash in the pan. The reason is the state of our hearts. We've not allowed God to really have room in our lives to do everything that he wants. It's all of us at some stage or other. We can all be each one of these soils at different points in our lives. And literally from day to day we can change. It's where things come in and crowd. And where we don't allow God the depth, the space to grow in our lives.
We just need a bigger pot still, don't
we? Just need a bigger pot. And it's where Jesus said the sun comes up, and because there's no root, it withers and dies because of the heat of the sun. And Jesus says that is temptation. It's persecution, it's suffering. It's going through trials and tribulations as a Christian. And Jesus didn't promise that when we become Christians, that would be it. We wouldn't have any problems. That's the end of all our problems. We still go through problems as Christians. We still have to go through struggles. But the difference is we've got God's strength. We've got God's perspective. And we can pray about stuff and see prayers answered. But sometimes the answer is no. We don't like to hear that, do we? Sometimes the answer to our prayers is be more patient and wait. You know, we don't want to hear that either. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is you're going through a tough time. I will strengthen you. I'll give you the ability to press on through this. You won't go under, but you go endure this, you know. And we don't want to hear that either because we want God to just take the problem away, you know. So what God would encourage each one of us to do is to trust his word in the good times and the bad. And to know that as Christians, there's a sacrifice that we have to make to follow Jesus. You know, I've been looking at the news, and you probably have as well, some horrific things happening in the Middle East. I'm thinking about Iraq and this the reporter recently who just was decapitated by ISIS. And I was actually, I logged on to the internet and I was watching some of the ISIS videos that they've made, where they've been killing Christians and killing people, and it's horrific. It's just like something from the Nazi regime, really. And I wouldn't recommend watching it. Like, I mean, I just felt that I just wanted to see what was happening and see what some of our brothers and sisters are going through over there. We need to remember them in our prayers. You know, they really are suffering, and we're not immune from that. You know, in the time of the New Testament, there was great persecution against the church, and there was times when Christians were martyred, but were killed for their faith. There were seasons of that. And we've been through a season here in the West of ease. We've had it easy. And the churches are in decline, you know. Some churches, and the more lively churches, are growing in the West, but many churches are diminishing and closing down. And part of the reason is the ease that we've had in the West. We can take God for granted. We can take him or leave him. But let me tell you this. In places where there is persecution happening, places like China, the church is really growing. It goes on the ground and people have to meet secretly. But when it's a life or death situation, it sorts the men out from the boys and the women out from the girls, yeah? Those who are really desperate for God will stand, and they'll even endure persecution And many, right as we speak, are literally laying down their lives. There's Christians being crucified today, you know. Last few weeks, quite a few people have been crucified, literally crucified, killed, their bodies hung on crosses, because they're Christians. I've recently changed my Facebook picture, and I know many other Christians have as well, to the sign of the Arabic numeral N, which is like a sign for Christians. I can't remember what it stands for. It stands for the Arabic word for Christian, and it's like it's that sort of shape with a dot on the top. And the reason why I've done that is because, along with many other Christians, the reason why we've done that is because in Iraq, ISIS have gone from house to house, and where they know there's a Christian living there, they've sprayed in red, they've sprayed the sign of an N, an Arabic numeral N, on each house where they know there's Christians. And the reason why they've done that is so that they can kill those people. And that's why many Christians have fled the country, and other groups, not just Christians, other groups as well that are persecuted out there. So just imagine that. Just imagine if that was sprayed on your house. So I'm doing that to stand with our brothers and sisters. You know, they are going through terrible persecution at the minute. And we're not immune to that as well. We are not immune to persecution. Over here in the West, presently it's a mickey take, isn't it? It's people laughing at us or not including us or saying, oh, you've got all religious of you and giving us a hard time. It's a different form of persecution. It's still persecution. Are we tough enough to stand and say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, I'm going to stand for him in this generation where there's so much difficult things going on. I'm not ashamed of my Saviour, and I'm not, you know, there's a natural fear in each one of us. We don't want to go through suffering, we don't want to go through death. That's natural to each one of us. But our faith can overcome that. Our faith can be stronger in Christ, that we're going to stand and be counted. Jesus said, he who is ashamed of me and my words in this evil and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of in the kingdom of heaven. But for those who acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven and before the angels in heaven. I want to be one of those people who are going to be acknowledged by Jesus, who are not ashamed of my faith, and that are willing to go through tough times as well as good times. So that is the soil, with very shallow soil. Are you a shallow Christian or are you a deep Christian? Are you in it for the long haul or is it just a flash in the pan? God wants us to have that perspective. We're going to go on with him no matter what. We are followers of Jesus. We're disciples of Christ. We're going to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. Remember, Jesus said, whoever wants to follow me must pick up his cross daily. So it's a daily decision. It's not just a one-off, or would I be willing to die for Christ? Actually, being a disciple means dying to ourselves daily. And Paul said, I die daily. It sounds like a Welsh name, doesn't it? What's your name? I die daily. I die daily. You know, it's. But that's what we're going to be. We're going to all be die dailies, you know? And pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. Or else we're going to be like this unfruitful soil. So let's have that long-term perspective. Let's go to the next one. We've had the seed on the path. We've had the seed in a shallow soil. Let's have a look at this soil next. What we've got here? Ah, it's painful. Thorns. Yep. Weeds from my garden. We've just bought a church building, Tabor Baptist Church, and when we first bought it, the back of it had overgrown, and we went down there. Thanks to all those guys who helped out. I really appreciate it. We need to do it again, actually, because it's gone weedy again. But we de-weeded, and some of the thorns and thistles and things that had grown up, they were just incredible. They'd gone through brickwork, you know, they'd gone through the path, they'd got underneath the render of the building, and it was like thorns and thistles coming out of the building, you know, briars. It's unbelievable. When you don't look after some soil, what can happen? And if you've got a lovely, beautiful garden, and you've planted some lovely flowers, if you just leave it all to itself, what's going to happen? It's going to end up full of these things, because they take over. They will overcome anything that's planted there. They'll just grow anywhere, and and the weeds as well. If you don't get the weeds sorted, they're going to take over. And I hate weeding. I don't know if you're the same as me. I absolutely hate it. But one thing I do know, if you can get weeds when they first start, it's so, so much easier to sort them out than it is once they're really rooted. Because some of the weeds that we had, or some of the thorns... Yeah, come on in, guys. Some of the thorns that we had were so big that... you okay? Come have a sit down. They were so big that we had to get saws to them and various implements in order to sort them out. So nip things in the bud. Now, if you suffer with anxiety, if you're fearful as a person, this is one of the things that can be a thorn in your life or a weed in your life. It can actually stop the word of God from really flourishing and bearing much fruit in your life. So what is the way to overcome anxieties in life? Because Jesus said, these are the anxieties and the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. First of all, anxiety. How can we deal with anxiety? Simple. It's just like doing the weeding in the garden. When you're out in the garden and you see that little weed coming up, we've got some stones by the side of our house. Great for burglars, you know. If burglars come in, you can hear them, you know, in the middle of the night. Then you can really panic. Oh, there's somebody in that garden. What did I do? Hide underneath the covers then. And in between those stones, you can see the little weeds coming up because we didn't do what you should do. You should put one of those...
plastic thing.
Yeah, whatever the plastic thingies are.
Screen.
We didn't do that. They just chucked down stones there. So every now and then, we're going to get these little things come up. And it's so easy when they come up, they're a little thing, just pluck it out. It's done. If you leave it, it's going to grow. It's going to become something nasty. It's going to even go through brickwork and through stone. It's incredible what they can do. So in the same way, if you're someone like me, because I tend to, you know, I can worry about stuff. If you're somebody who struggles with anxiety, when that thought comes into your head, it's that little weed coming up. Pluck it out straight away. Don't dwell on it. As you start to dwell on it, it builds and it grows and it becomes bigger and bigger. And it becomes a habit then. And if we've habitually been worriers, we can change that habit. But it's going to take time, and it's going to take... Every time that little seed of worry comes in our minds, we need to pluck it out and actually replace it with something. It's hard to resist something if you're just thinking, oh, I mustn't think about that temptation, you know. If you're tempted to worry and you think, oh, I mustn't worry, you're going to worry. You're going to worry about not worrying, you know. The way to get rid of a temptation is to replace it with something else. If I was to say to you, okay, I want you to think of a beautiful cream bun from Greg's. Can you taste it? Can you picture that right now? Chocolate eclair, maybe? Yum, 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 yum. Yum. Yes, I don't know what you're thinking of, but it looks tasty. And then suddenly I say, right, stop thinking about that chocolate eclair now. Stop thinking about that cream bun.
What cream bun?
I bet you're still thinking about it, aren't you? If you're like me, it's very hard to just blank your mind. But what is easier is to replace it with something else. Can you just think now of an apple? Maybe that will help you. Just think about the texture of an apple, the taste of an apple. Beautiful. Freshness of an apple. As you're thinking about that, probably the cream bun hopefully has gone out of your mind because you replaced it with something else. In the same way, as those weeds of worry come into our minds, we can replace that with the word of God.
Yeah.
Really, what crowds our minds and what crowds our lives is what we've allowed to come into our lives. And what Jesus is saying is, don't allow things to crowd the word of God in your life. Put the word of God, what God says, as the main thing. Keep that the main thing in your life. Believe what he says. Trust in him above all other things. We're still going to worry about stuff. There's still going to be temptations come into our lives. But we keep them in a different area. We clear them out of the way and replace it with the word of God. We don't just try and resist. We actually replace it with something. It's the word of God. It's what God says. So when Satan starts to lie into our mind, say, oh, you're no good, you're this, you're that, as he does to all of us, oh, you might as well give up being a Christian, you're a failure, you'll never make it, and all this sort of stuff. We don't worry about that. We actually replace it with the word of God. We say, well, actually, the word says that I'm precious to him, that I'm the apple of his eye, that he died for me, that there is no greater love than someone would lay down their life for their friends, and he's laid down his life for me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish and will have everlasting life. God loves us, and we need to replace those worries with the word of God. So Jesus said, it's the anxieties of this world, which we all have. We all have anxieties that will come and try and crowd in. We're to keep them in their place. But he also said it's the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, some people are living to make a buck. We all need money, don't we? Is money good?
No.
It's pretty neutral, isn't it? Well, it is good, it's useful. But the love of money, it says in the Bible, is the root of all kinds of evil. So really, it's not money that's wrong. It can be our attitude towards money that can be wrong. If we're living just for money, then actually what will happen is we'll not have room for God in our lives. We'll crowd him out. Jesus said you can't worship God and money at the same time. You can't love God and money. You're going to love one or the other. Yes?
When you see on the television, the Americans, they go all about making all this money, don't they? Mm. You know, this great... Is that a clash between...
I think it is a clash. You know, there's warnings in the Bible about being greedy. It depends on motives. You know, God can bless us and wants to bless us with money. Mm. And as we're obedient to him and as we make sacrifices, he's able to repay us, you know, but we've seen in this parable 100-fold for it, you know, both in this life and in the life to come. But sometimes people can twist that to their own ends because they're greedy, really. They're actually greedy for more of this. And they can cover that with spirituality and say, well, actually, I've got a new Rolls Royce because actually I'm more spiritual than you are and God's blessing me. Well, yeah, I don't think that's good. I don't think that's godly. And I think God will judge each one of our hearts according to our attitudes, really. What is important is the attitude. It's not wrong to have a Rolls Royce or to have money, you know, or to have lots of money. But it's what we do with it, and it's our attitude towards it. So it's not wrong to want money, but or to need money. We all need it. It's useful. It's not wrong to ask God for money. Lord, I pray for money. Yeah, we're praying for money for the building, aren't we, you know, to use for his purposes. We need money to feed our families. That's right, that's good. We need to work, each one of us. But it's having the right attitude of money. We live in the West where there's a lot of idolatry towards money and towards possessions. And Jesus warned, he said, life does not consist of the abundance of our possessions. And we can be living, trying to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, that person's got a new this, got a new that. And we're trying to outdo one another all the time. Oh, I've got a better car than me. I've got to go for the next thing up, you know. If we're living like that, Jesus said it's deceptive. It's the deceptiveness of wealth. We can think, yeah, I'm okay. Like Jesus said, there was a rich man who stored up all his wealth in a barn. He thought, yeah, build bigger barns. Yeah, I've got everything I need now. I can relax. I can retire. And that night he died. Well,
you can't take it with you.
It was pointless. He lived his life for money. That was his focus. He was rich towards money, but not towards God. So, you know, it's not wrong to have money or to make money, but we need to guard our hearts that we're not deceived by wealth and that wealth becomes a big thing in our lives. God comes first in all things, you know. And it's not how much money we have, it's really how much we give away, isn't it, really? Are we generous people? Have we got a soft heart towards God and towards those who are in need? So that is the soil which got crowded by other things. Let's not be like that, but let's put other things in their place and give God room in our lives. The last soil we're going to look at is this fruitful soil. The soil that was ready for the seed, the soil that grew the seed into these lovely onions. This lovely apple, beautiful. This is soil, or the state of people's hearts, where they're hungry for the word of God, where they've thought about the commitment level that's necessary in order to bear fruit. They're in it for the long haul, for better or worse. You know, some people go into marriage and think, oh, if it doesn't work out, I can always get a divorce. You know, if you go into marriage with that attitude, you're not going to make it last, are you, really? But other people go into marriage, they really do go into marriage for better or worse. And they're going to do their utmost to make that marriage work in the good times and in the bad times. And this is the same attitude here. If you go in with that attitude, you're going to serve God no matter what. You're going to bear fruit. It's a great promise. Now, God has placed seed in your life and in my life. It says right in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, let each plant bear seed according to its kind. So God created some beautiful fruit trees and stuff, and they had seed in them. You think about an apple, or you think about some fruit that's got seed in it. Think about how much can come out of that one apple. An awful lot, because as one apple pip is planted, that becomes an apple tree full of apples. It just goes on and on, doesn't it? Fruitfulness is incredible when you think about it. When you have fruit over for 1 year and you plant it, the number of things that can come from it are incredible. In the same way, just as apples bear more apple trees when you plant them with seeds and stuff, God has placed his word in each one of us. And each one of us is different. We've got different gifts and abilities, different personalities. God wants us to reproduce ourselves. He wants us to produce others like us. You're gifted at reaching certain people in a unique way. You've got a unique set of contacts, each one of you. I have as well. We've got abilities that no one else has got. We're unique. We can touch people in a good way to reach them for the gospel, and we can bear fruit. We can see others becoming Christians. If you're someone who loves to share your story about how you became a Christian, you're going to bear fruit. It's not going to be long before you bear fruit, you know. And you'll see others starting to become Christians, starting to follow Christ. So the challenge to each one of us is, are we bearing fruit? God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to bring others to him. And that it may not happen tomorrow, it may not happen today, but if we've got hearts like this, we're going to bear some great fruit. We're also going to influence people's lives. Fruit isn't just seeing others becoming Christians, it's seeing people learning more about Jesus. People watch our lives and they learn from us. If it's real for us, if they see us coping with problems but through Jesus, if they see us overcoming and changing, that gives them hope that they too can know that Saviour and they can overcome things in their lives as well. People are watching us. And if we're people who are going to continue to follow Christ and be soft with our hearts towards him, we're going to influence many people. We're going to bring many people to know him. But we're also going to see many changes in those around us. We're going to bear fruit for God. So that's the encouragement I felt that God was bringing us this morning, is to be fruitful, to keep on serving him, to keep our hearts soft before him, and to give him everything in our lives. I wonder if we can just finish with a prayer and in a song, just committing ourselves to God. Really, I just want to pray a very simple prayer, which is going to say, Lord, I just want to open my heart to you. I want to know you more. Please come into my life. Please forgive me of my sins. You know, our sins are the bad things that we do, the wrong things that we do that we know we really shouldn't do. The Bible calls those things sins. It's anything which we do that we know is not right, that God doesn't agree with. And I'm talking to Christians this morning as well as non-Christians. We all need to be forgiven of sin, you know. Let's come before God this morning and say, Lord, I'm really sorry for my sins, for the times that I've messed up. And let's choose to soften our hearts before God this morning. Let's say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to be in charge of my life, to lead me from here on, and to help me follow you on a daily basis. Let's ask for courage, shall we, that we can really follow Christ no matter what. And let's pray for fruitfulness as well. Let's pray that God would help us to lead fruitful lives and to be a great blessing to many, many people. So let's just come before the Lord now. If you want to pray with me, then I'll just leave some spaces for you to just pray with me. Dear Jesus, I know that I've messed up on many occasions and I continue to mess up. Lord, I'm really sorry for these things. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you took my punishment on yourself so that I can be forgiven. Jesus, I'm truly sorry for all the times I've failed you and messed up. Please come into my life afresh today, Lord. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I soften my heart and open my heart to you now. Forgive me for other things crowding in and crowding you out. Forgive me for the times I've hardened my heart to you. Please, Lord, help me to bear fruit for you. Help me to see many others come to know you, Lord, and to be helped by you. Amen. It's beautiful. We always offer every week to pray for anyone who wants some prayer. If you're here this morning, maybe it's your first time, or maybe you've been coming on a regular basis. If you want prayer for any reason, either for healing or for a situation you're going through, just need prayer for something, we'd be very happy to pray with you this morning. It's great to have you all with us. We're going to finish by singing a song, dedicating our hearts to God. There's a lovely cup of tea, a cup of coffee afterwards. Do stay around and get to know some people this morning. But let's finish by dedicating our lives to God afresh this morning. We're going to sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. I want to see you. And it's really saying, Lord, I want to keep my heart soft before you. Amen.